Here at Bethel, so glad to see you guys today on this Memorial Day weekend. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12, Genesis 12, listen, if that video impacted you, and maybe you've given your life to Jesus, but you have not been water baptized, visit Connection Point Table, sign up, and we'll help you take that next step. We've been talking about who the third person of the Trinity is, the Holy Spirit, in this series entitled Forgotten God. And today we're really going to focus on really one of the primary roles of the Holy Spirit and how he kind of operates and functions and really what he wants us to get involved in as he lives on the inside of us. Genesis 12, we're going to start in verse 1, and then we're going to flip over to 2 Corinthians 4. Genesis 12 says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 7. "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair." I love this. "Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested or revealed in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you." You know, I remember years ago when I was sitting in a service just like you guys are today. And as a younger person, I'm not too old now, but younger, as a younger person, I remember like many of us, we all had, maybe you can think back when you're high school, college, whatever it may be, the dreams and the vision you have for your life of maybe who you're going to marry, what your spouse was going to look like, how many kids you're going to have, maybe the kind of house you're going to have, maybe all the way down to the car that you were going to drive. That was me. I had this picture of what my life was going to look at. And here I am in this service, and it's amazing how in 30 minutes, God can change your entire life. He doesn't need very long sometimes. Sometimes 15, 30 minutes is all he needs. And here I am, I'm sitting in this service much like we are today, and I'm sitting there, really, I didn't come that day so I could get a word from God or so that my world could be rocked and changed. I basically came so I could make my mom and daddy happy. I could call them and say, "Hey, mom and daddy, I went to church." Or maybe you're like that, or maybe because somebody invited you. Nobody ever shows up and says, "Man, today I'm going to give everything to God. My world's going to change." It doesn't work like that, does it? So wherever you're here today, I'm telling you that God's going to rock your world like he did mine. So here I am, I'm sitting in this service, and all of a sudden I begin to feel, the only way I could describe it is like a fire rising on the inside of me. There was a new passion rising in me. And literally how I felt like I was on the operating table, and like God had cut me open. I mean, it was hurting. God had cut me open, and he began to pull all of my goals, all of my dreams, all these desires that I had for my life, he began to, in a sense, I felt like they were being ripped out of me. So much so, as I was sitting there in this service, I was trying to hold back tears. He was pulling them out, but what I began to sense is that what was happening is this fire that was rising in me was because he was beginning to place all of his dreams, all of his goals, all of his desires on the inside of me. And at the end of the service, the pastor who was speaking that day, he said, "Man, if you feel like you've been called by God to give your life to serve people, to give your life to help people, I want you to stand to your feet." And my wife, who wasn't my wife, I just got engaged to Deanna at the time, was sitting beside me. She didn't have a clue what was going on. And I grabbed her hand and I stood up. And tears just started coming down my face because I was scared to death. I'm thinking, what in the world is going on with me? Why am I now caring about people? Why do I want to give my life for people? What is happening to me? What have I got myself into? I mean, is this a cult? Where am I at? What's going on? But see, what was happening in that moment is that God's dream was being birthed. It was coming alive inside of me. And I hate to tell you this on the lovely Memorial Day weekend, but my prayer for you this whole week building up to today is that your dream would die, the plans that you have would die, so that His dream, God's dream, could live on the inside of us today. You know, what is God's dream? God's dream is simply this, that His glory would cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. That worship would exist to Him, worship to Him would exist where it does not currently exist. That's God's dream. Now, when we become a Christian, what begins to happen is there is this word that all of us are afraid of as followers of Jesus. You know, we're good with Jesus, saving us with Jesus, Jesus blessing us. But there's this one word that we all are afraid of. Maybe it's can be almost like a Christian cuss word if there one exists. And that is this big word with a big M called ministry. Every believer is scared of God using them for ministry because what we begin to think is, yeah, right, Lance, there's no way God couldn't use me. I mean, have you actually heard me try to quote a Bible verse? It doesn't come out right. I don't read enough the Bible. I don't pray enough. Pastor Lance, I barely come to your church enough. I mean, how is God going to use me in ministry? But what we find all throughout the Bible, and this is stated over and over and over again, that God uses His people to bring about His plan to do ministry through. No matter what they've done, no matter where they're at, His goal and His desire is to use you for ministry, to use you. Now, the word ministry is a very simple word, and we have overcomplicated it as the local church at large. We have made ministry what you look at on stage. Ministry is not what you see up here. Is this a part of it? Yes. But it is so much more than this. See, ministry is this. It is simply using, get this, your gifts and your resources to serve others in the name of Christ. That's all it is. God using your gifts, not my gifts. Maybe you can even say your personality, your gifts, your personality, your resources to serve others in His name. That's what Christian ministry is. It's serving people in the name of Christ. See, the same principles that govern, you have to remember, I'm a Christian first, pastor second. So the same principles that govern my life, even though I am called to be a pastor, guess what? Govern your life as well as a follower of Jesus. And what we're going to see today is that one of the primary roles of the Holy Spirit is to empower you and I to be used by God to fulfill His dream on this earth. This is what I love is we are about as a local church. As a local church, we're about getting you in the game. We're about, because too many Christians sit on the sidelines and do nothing when it comes to God's mission, God's ministry, God's dream. We just sit, we come and watch, which is great, please come. But God has so much more than this. And one of the primary roles of our church is to get you in the game, to get you out of your comfort zone, out of what feels safe to you, and get you involved in being used by God, because we know there's no greater joy than being used by God in ministry. Now, Genesis 12, what we see is we find a man named Abram who eventually becomes Abraham. Now, what I like about Abram is he's like you and I, guys. He's a very simple man. He had very small dreams, small prayer. He just simply wanted to take care of his family, provide for his family. He had one simple prayer. Does anybody remember what that prayer was? God, I want to have a son. This was Abram's simple prayer. God, I want to provide for my family, and I simply want to have a son. Now, for you and I, we know that God had much more planned for Abraham than just one son. Because we get to read the rest of the chapters, don't we? Or we get to use our DVR in a sense, fast forward. There was no DVR in Abraham's day. He couldn't fast forward and find out, what is this going to lead to, God? Get this. Abraham prayed a very small prayer. God, give me one son. He had no clue that God was going to take that small dream, that small prayer of one son, and turn it into a mighty nation. the nation of Israel. From Isaac came the nation of Israel. Abraham had no clue. He was just focused on this one thing. Could it be today that God wants to take your dream and turn it into something that not just changes your life, but maybe changes someone else's life? Maybe even can change a city. See, maybe even a nation, or maybe even a world. See, for some of us today, you're going to be like me. In that moment, God was changing my dreams completely. But for some of you, it's God's allowing you to see that your dream is too small. It's too small. And He wants that dream to grow, because He has more planned for you than you'd ever ask for or ever imagine. So here we have our friend. He's Abraham. Abraham. And really what we can see here is really three principles that we can take from Abraham that I believe is going to encourage us today. If this is your first time, you picked a great Sunday to check out Bethel, because every one of us are going to walk out with new passion, new fire, new enthusiasm when it comes to our relationship with God. Some of you feel stagnant. Some of you feel like this is not going anywhere. Why am I here? God's brought you here for a reason. It's to empower you. It's to strengthen you and encourage you to light a new fire on the inside of you. So God, because God wants to fulfill His dream in every one of us today. Now, when we first meet Abraham, again, his name's Abram. Now, what's interesting about that is that it's not like when we first are introduced to Abram, God has a lot of nice things to say about Abram. It's not like He comes to us and said, Abram was a great guy. Abram did a lot of great things for God. I mean, the first words that God says here to Abraham are actually, they seem like very mean. What does He say? He said, the Lord God said to Abram, what does He say? Go. I mean, I'm thinking, God, how about before you tell him to get out and go, what about encouraging him for a moment? Let's encourage him. Hey, how about you tell him where he's supposed to go? God says to Abram, I'm not even going to tell you where to go. Just go. I'm not going to. Abram couldn't Google it. He couldn't get a brochure. I mean, God's basically saying to Abram, Abraham, get out. Get outside your comfort zone. Get out of where you're at, your safety, your family. Just go. Now, again, at first glance, it seems like, God, you're being mean, but God's not being mean. There's a reason why. And to discover why God said this, you got to really look at Genesis chapter 11. Because Genesis chapter 11 is all about a people who came together, not to build God's dream, but to build their own dream. They said, let's make a tower all the way up to heaven. We know it as the Tower of Babel. Let's build a tower. This was their vision. This was their dream. Let's build a tower to go all the way up to heaven. And what ended up happening? That dream crumbled. It didn't make it. So here we come to Genesis 12. And what we see in Genesis chapter 12 is a man who actually obeyed God and did what God said. And because of that, God's dream was fulfilled. And the reason why God wanted Abraham to get out, because He knew, Abraham, if you stay here in your comfort zone, you're going to be focused on, just like those in Genesis 11, you're going to be focused on your own dream, your own goals, and your own desires. You got to go. Because as you go, you're going to come into a situation where you need me, and I am going to get to show you who I really am, that I'm a mighty God, that I'm a big God who has big plans and big dreams. Abram would never need God if he stayed in the comfort zone. If he stayed where he would never need God. So God knew, I got to push this brother out so that he can get himself in a situation where I can reveal myself to him. See, God knew Abram has got to grow in his trust. He's got to trust me. God knew, I can't fulfill my dream in Abram's life unless he trusts me. If he can trust me, man, my dream can be fulfilled. God does what is He showing us? He does exactly the same thing to you and I. The reason why God's saying to us today, you got to go. You got to move. You got to walk by faith and not by sight. You got to take risk. You got to step out and believe and trust me. Because I don't want you just to have a knowledge of me. Listen, I had a lot of knowledge before I actually came and encountered Jesus. A lot of knowledge about Him. I grew up in a traditional church. They talked a lot about Jesus. I knew about, yeah, he died. Yeah, he rose. I had a bunch of head knowledge, but I never encountered him. I never experienced him. And that's what happened that day I was sitting in that seat. I was having an encounter, an experience with this living God. That's why this fire began to rise. See, God cannot get this, could use a Christian who is just stagnant and standing in place. You've got to move. You've got to be walking. You've got to be doing something for him. Then he's able to show you, man, this guy, he's able to show you, you can trust me. You can lean on me. My dream can be fulfilled in your life. God says, Abraham, go. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to be with you. Abraham, what did he got a glimpse. The word we use in our worship today, that last song was gaze. He began to gaze upon God. And once you begin to gaze and get a glimpse of God, let me tell you, everything changes. Either your dream changes or you begin to see that this dream that I possess is way too small. You know, we think about God sending us into this dream, sending us on mission. The word mission really comes from a Latin word named missio, and it really means to be sent. And what happens is we begin to see as we're sent for God, fulfilling this dream, this consumer mentality. I'm guilty of it, and we might as well just be honest here. Every one of us today are guilty of this. Every one of us. Our selfishness level is hopefully maybe a little down here, but most of us way up here. Man, I didn't really realize how selfish I was till I got married and had kids. Gosh, kids will remind, I mean, I have five kids, five small mirrors that remind, they follow me everywhere I go and remind me of my selfishness. Marriage will do the same thing. Friendship will do that. Every one of us possess this selfish me mentality. Can I tell you, as you go for God, it destroys a consumer mentality. You realize it's not about you. All of us live in this myopic world. It's just because we're human. It's okay. God helps us with it. We become so myopic, and it's just about our little circles, our jobs, the money we want to make, the dreams that we have. God wants to get us outside of that today because his dream is not just about you. It's about really changing others and changing, really, hopefully, the nations of the earth. Told Abraham, Abraham, get out. Go. Get outside your comfort zone. You know, I wish it was just I could stay. I wish, I'm like, God, why can't I just stay? Why can't I just be used right here in my comfort zone? Why do you want to take me outside of what's safe for me? For some of us today, when it comes to getting out, it's getting out of our life of sin. Some of us today, we could be still in bondage to sin, and we're not free. See, for me to be a part of bringing life, life has to be in me. If I'm not alive in here, there's no way I can be a part of bringing life to something or someone else. And that happens as we confess Jesus as the Lord and Savior of my life. Again, as I was sitting there that day, that fire, that passion, let me tell you, it was breaking me from the bondages and the strongholds I had in my life. Jesus, I was confessing Jesus as the Lord of my life, and I gave everything to him. And as I kept coming, I began to realize something is different about me. Something is different. I found myself actually singing the words to the songs they were playing on the Sunday morning. So much so, I found myself lifting my hands. I'm like, I was having like an out-of-body experience thinking, why are my hands lifted? What is going on? Why am I singing? Then I notice I begin to want to give money. I'm thinking, what? Now what? This has got to be a cult. What am I doing? Why do I want to give money? Why do I want to serve people? I mean, my life was all about me. Why do I want to help somebody else? What was going on? God's dream. I was coming out of darkness into his marvelous light. God's dream was being birthed in me. I was willing to sacrifice and give my life so that others could live. Oh, man, this is what God wants to do in all of us. See, he's saying to us today, come out. Come out of our sin. If we've already come out, he's also saying now, come out of your comfort zone. Come into the mission and the dream that I have for you. Abraham, as he began to see, as he began to walk with God, he began to see that his dream was too small. See, Abraham said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. This is key. So that you will be a blessing. The blessing of God is never just for you. It's not just to come, listen, to you, but it's to come through you. This is how the covenant blessing works. It's not just supposed to come to you, but through you. If it's all about you, the blessing will be very limited. Maybe you'll get saved, praise God. Maybe you experience a little bit of, but man, when you begin to open up and say, God, Lord, I want you to use me. That's the most dangerous prayer a Christian can ever pray, God, use me. Because guess what? He's about to use you. But in that, he's about to take out his big sword called the Word of God and begin to cut in you. Because he wants to remove things, because he wants to use you to bless others. It's more, our life is more than our job, the money we make, maybe the product that we sell. It's even more than our own families. That's important. The health of our families, our relationships are important. But God wants to use all of those. If that's all it's ever about, you're going to miss out on the adventure that Jesus has for you and I to live. We also see, and this is a tough one, we also see that even though God wants to bless us, we also see, though, that we cannot be a blessing. Now, listen, you're going to have to forgive me after I say this. So say, Pastor Lance, I forgive you. Thank you. We also see that we cannot be a blessing unless we are willing to lose things. That's hard. Because I don't know about you, but I like things. I like stuff. Now, I'm not like Pastor Richard. He's a pack rat. Might see him on Hoarders someday. I mean, that brother, he really likes stuff. You need it. I like stuff. I like having things. But if I'm going to be used by God and the blessing is going to flow through me, I got to be willing to give up some things, to die to some things, to walk away from some things that are very comfortable to me, that are very safe. What are we willing to give up today for God's dream to live in us, for his mission to be fulfilled? We'll never be a blessing. You will never be a blessing unless you're willing to give up some things, to die to some things. I'm so thankful that Bethel Community Church is a church that has constantly had people in it that are willing to give up some things, really to die to themselves, die to some comforts so that others can live, so that other people can experience the blessing of God. You know, I think about the Episcopos. Matt and Kara, right? I say her name wrong sometimes. Kara. Matt and Kara Episcopo. Now, a lot of you guys have already done this. And every time my wife and I think about you guys, I mean, it's just, you're amazing. As those who actually take the step and adopt a child. What an amazing step. You guys, I mean, that do that, gosh. You guys are just, let's give them a hand. You guys are just champions. I mean, the sacrifice that is made to adopt a child is a huge sacrifice. And you'll never understand it until you really do it. But Matt Carrick Episcopo, they have three boys right now. And they're taking the step of faith and not adopting one more boy, but two more boys. They're going to have five boys. I looked at her this morning in first service. I said, sweetie, I said, you are strong. Five boys. Woo! Five boys. But they're willing. See, it's God's dream living on the inside of them. It's not about them. It's about somebody else. And that's not for all of us. My wife and I more than likely will not adopt. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe so. But more than likely we will not. Maybe that's not. But maybe that is the dream that God's placing in you. I think about Evan and Jenny Owens, who left a full-time job to start Reboot Ministry to serve our military community, to really provide a ministry that is going to be able to help soldiers deal with the wounds of war. They left a lot. The comfort of their job, their finances, the salary that they made to step out and raise support and make decisions like that. There's other things. What's God calling you to do? Now, as I talk like this, here's what I don't want you to think. Well, I need to quit my job today and go into full-time ministry. I'm not saying that. That's not what we're saying. Please don't quit your job. We need you to have a job. We don't need any more broke Christians. We need Christians making money. Full-time vocation ministry, like myself and others, is not for everybody. It's only for a small amount of people. But you say, well, Pastor, where am I called? Right where you are at. Right where you're at. Your job is the first place you're called. If you're a soldier, man, you are surrounded by people that God wants to fulfill his dream in. surround it. If you're a businessman or woman, surround it. Well, I'm a stay-at-home mom and dad. But what do you think? Your children are the first place that we should start when it comes to fulfilling God's dream, right there where you're at. Well, I'm a middle school, high school, college student. Man, you're at the greatest place ever. People young, their hearts are open to receive Christ as Lord. See, God doesn't want you to call me and say, hey, Pastor Lance, I got this guy. Hey, can you come share your story? I'm going to say, no, you idiot. Tell your story. You have something to say. I'm not going to call you an idiot. I'm kidding. Your story, your testimony is what they need to hear, not mine. If they needed to hear me, guess what? I would be there. God would have me there, but he has you. So get rid of the excuses of why God can't use me. Listen, if you're relying on being competent, listen, if I'm relying on the competency all the time, then I don't need to be up here. I'm relying on what? The Holy Ghost who lives on the inside of me to minister through me. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to have every Bible verse and every question needs to be answered. No, just simply your story is what people need to hear. God wants to use you. He wants to fulfill his dream through you. No matter where you're at, no matter who you are and what you do, he wants to use you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, this is what it's talking about here. But what are we willing to die to so that it can live? He says, we have this treasure. What's the treasure? The treasure is, if you read a couple of verses earlier, it's the light of the gospel of who Jesus is living in us. That's the treasure. He says that we have it in what? Jars of clay, or some of your versions say earthen vessels. That's our bodies. That's us. Touch yourself. That's you. That's what he's talking about. That treasure lives in you. Therefore, he goes on to say, what does he say? I got to find it. He says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, because the greater one lives on the inside of you. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. And here we go. As a believer, we're always carrying in our bodies the death of Jesus. Why is that? So the life of Jesus can be manifested in others. He says, let death come to us, that life may come to someone else, to you. This is the role of the blessing of God. The blessing of God is somebody has to die so that the blessing can come to someone else's life. It's how the covenant promises of God works. All Abraham had to look at, think about it, was what? God showed him some sand and some stars in the sky. Baby, we got something, and David said this earlier, we got something a lot better than a bunch of sand and a bunch of stars. We have the cross, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He showed us how the blessing works. He had to die so that we could live for eternity. Now, we have pictures of the gospel all over the place. We miss it a lot. The food you eat is a picture of the gospel. If you like to eat meat, anybody love meat? Steak, ribs, come on, chicken, fish. Think about it. As you eat that thing, what is that? Something had to die so that you could live. It's a picture of the gospel. You think about the home that you live in. Somebody made a sacrifice to build that home so that you could live in that home. Think about the car that you drive. Think about the Memorial Day weekend, what we're celebrating. What are we celebrating? Our freedom. Somebody had to give their life. It's a picture of the gospel so that you and I can live. When we allow the death of Jesus to live through us, we get the honor and the privilege to model the gospel to this city, to the nation, and hopefully the world. Man, what a great honor. What a great privilege. But what are we willing to die to? And the last thing God said to Abraham, he said, you know what, Abraham? He said, as you go, as you fulfill my dream, he says, I will bless you. See, Abraham began to see that as I work for God, God begins to work for me. A lot of times we get this backwards. We focus on our thing and we kind of lay aside God's thing. But if we can focus on God's thing, yeah, baby, he'll take care of your thing. Again, he will either change your dream entirely or he will cause that small dream that you have, he'll allow you to see how much bigger he wants that dream to be. But are we willing to seek first his kingdom? Listen, I'm not doing this for me. I'm not saying these things for Bethel. I'm saying it for you. Because this is what brings the greatest joy in our life as we focus on what God has for us. You know, I gave you this pamphlet here. If you could take that out just for a moment here. About to close. If you open up, anybody get one of these? Ushers? Did anybody get one of these? No. Raise your hand. If you need one, raise your hand. We'll get you one. Lawrence has one. I want everybody to have one. Somebody help Lawrence, please. Fish, Pastor Richard, help Lawrence. Mike, help Lawrence Tassel's out. Thank you. What I want you to do is open up to this page right here that says, as of December 15, 2015. I love this. When you're a part of Bethel, you're a part of a global movement called Every Nation Ministries. And our goal is that we would reach every nation. Here's our little saying. We would reach every nation in our generation. If you're going to call yourself every nation, that means what? Then you need to focus on reaching every nation on the earth. So right now, if you look at this, right now there's 196 nations. You'll see that there. 196 nations. Every nation, look at that. Every nation is in 73 of the 196 nations. Man, that's something to give God praise about. Let's clap our hands for that. That's exciting. Now, you're a part of that. You're a part of this. Now, here's what I want to draw attention to, though. Look right where it says next. With 123 nations to go. Now, maybe for some of us here, we're called to fulfill one of those nations. Maybe not be all of us, but it could be somebody in this room that you're called to go, because here at Bethel, we believe, listen to this, one leader equals one nation. It takes one leader that can begin to change an entire nation. If that works, then how about one leader for one workplace? One leader can change an entire workplace. One leader, one home. One leader could change an entire home. The reason I want you to see this is because what this communicates to you and I today is that there is space for you at the table. Please understand, it's not like we're too leadership heavy. We have a war. Listen, we are trying. Everybody look at me right here. We are trying to change our city. We're not just trying to be a nice church on 1885 Tiny Town Road. We're trying our best to change our city. Because we know if we can change a city, we can change a nation. If we change a nation, we can change a world. This is what we're after. Please understand, this is our mission. This is our goal. But there is room for you at the table. It takes every calling. Your calling is important. Every gift, your gifts are important. Every personality. You don't have to be me. The world does not need more me's. Please help us. It needs you. Every personality matters. Every job matters. Every dream matters. You matter to God. But we have got to get you moving forward. Get out and go. Well, what do you want me to do? I don't know. We'll figure it out together. Just go. Get moving. Because we're trying to change the city. Amen? And we're going to do this and we're going to do it together. Now, here at Bethel, we're not just called to kick you out and go. We want to equip and train you. Ryan's going to show you here. We have this thing coming up on June the 12th, and I am encouraging every person to be here. Look, make plans to be here. It's called Engage, our Engage form. We don't just want to kick you out and go. We want to train you to go. And so we have an Engage form. We're going to have a guy here by the name of Brian Miller. He's a doctor. He's actually a physicist. This brother is smart, smaller than all of us put together, but he's also very practical. He's going to be able to help us because as we go, we need to know the answer to some questions that people are asking. And my encouragement to you, you need to be here for this. It's June 12th, 4 p.m., child care is provided. So if you have kids, there's no excuse. Get here. Children, make it a date. Bring your kids. Have a date right here in the sanctuary and get trained. But you need to be here because it's important for us that as we go, we are equipped with how to answer the question that our world is asking. Amen? I have a quick video that I'm going to show you here. We're going to hit the lights. It's going to encourage us about this training.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There's no question in scientists' minds that there was a beginning. But what they can't answer is how it began, or more importantly, why. Why is there something rather than nothing? Is the universe merely a product of random chance? Or does it reflect the order and information that speaks of an intelligent mind behind it all? Then there's the question of life, and how did it begin? Some scientists and philosophers say that evolution can explain it all. Unfortunately, evolution is a theory that only tells you what happens once you have life. It can't tell you how it began. The chance that it could have happened by chance is staggering. And for the question of why we are here, we were created for relationship. Relationship with God and relationship with each other. But something happened to this wonderful creation. A virus was introduced into the system called evil. Evil is the opposite of good, and evil is a choice. It is a wrong choice. The evidence of morality itself, again, points to the God that made us. Because without God, there would be no basis for morality. But why would a loving God allow evil? It was the risk he took to give mankind a real freedom to choose, and evil would not have the last word. God entered his own creation as a man, Jesus Christ. He lived the life we should have lived by choosing to do good and not evil. And he died the death we should have died in our place. He took the punishment for our evil upon himself on the cross. And 3 days later, he rose again from the dead, proving he was the Son of God. And he ultimately broke the power of evil over us. As Jesus said, "I was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. I have the keys of death and hell." And it's when Christ comes to live inside of us that we get the ultimate proof that he indeed exists. The God that created the galaxies lives on the inside of every heart that believes the gospel. God's not dead.
Come on, who's strong? Great. So what are we willing to give up for his dream to live? Let's pray. Dave's going to pray for us this morning.
Father, thank you so much for this morning.